Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Moving right along, hour three here of Sports Talk. Bobby and Christian, Mark Menard at Master Control, picking up your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. LSU eliminated. I'll talk CTE a little bit in a few moments with Paul Edelstein, I should say, New York City attorney. Want to change combat sports in terms of the some of the rules and pick his brain, visit with him. Duke on top of Georgia right now in the Athens Regional. 5-3, top of the sixth inning. Already seen two top eight national seeds get eliminated. Two more are on the ropes, Georgia and Ole Miss. Could be wild. But, Bobby, getting back to Luke Heimlich, there's a text you want to get to.
Yeah, Luke Heimlich, considering his ability and the chances that he'll get, you know, no matter what the sport, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever, if you can play, you're going to be given opportunities and chances. Is that fair or not fair? I mean, did he look the other way and sweep things under the rug? We got a couple of texts that I think is kind of appropriate to this situation. With Luke Heimlich, the outstanding pitcher for the Oregon State Beavers. This is from, 1065, because we're also talking about Andy Catanzaro, and we're going to get to that. But before that one, I'm going to get to the previous one, 67-66. It doesn't matter how well he pitches. It is disgusting that Oregon has a sex offender pitching. The only thing they care about is winning. Then from 1065, this is dealing with, like, Andy Catanzaro versus Luke Heimlich. Is that an extramarital affair is way different than sexual molestation of a six-year-old. And the mother of the little girl said it went on for 2 years. So basically from 4 to 6 years of age. And it doesn't matter that... goes on to say...
Well, it happened when she was 4 and 6.
Yeah. And that a big difference, even though he was 15, that's terrible, and not like having sex with another consenting adult, although married. So it is different. Now, from a moral standpoint, it's obviously out of line, not the right thing to do, and I would think sexual molestation of a kid is a lot worse than extramarital affair. From a moral standpoint, they're both wrong, but there's differing significance when you think about when Andy Catanzaro is dealing with it at Mississippi State versus Luke Heimlich, the pitcher at Oregon State.
Jay and Metairie, what's going on, Jay? You're on WWL.
About this jerk, Luke Heimlich. All I'm hearing is that he paid his debt to society. He has paid his debt when this little girl no longer has baggage. You know this has got to be weighing on her mind. When a child psychologist can talk to her and she no longer has any baggage, then he's paid his debt.
That'll be never. You'll always have a scar from this.
Exactly. This poor little girl's a victim, and he's going to cry he paid his debt. Hopefully he doesn't get drafted, you know, but he probably will. You know,
at some point somebody's going to draft him. He's too talented. Yeah.
But when she no longer has a problem, then you can say he paid his debt. As far as what Catanzaro did, that's consenting adults. I mean, that's between him and his wife. You know? I mean, but a child, what, 4 and 6? Man, when she is all well, then maybe he's paid his debt.
Jay,
but not till then.
Look, and I'm with you 100% because the law says he paid his debt. That's why I said it. But do I think that the debt was enough? And the answer would be no. More importantly, though, my bigger focus is on Oregon State University.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily Jay. I mean, not necessarily Luke Heimlich.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, but you know, what is going on? I mean, I'm speechless. I'm so aggravated with this. I'm speechless. He has got to have some kind of mental flaw to do this in the first place. I mean, this is family. To do it to any little girl, but family. And if he's got a mental flaw, it's going to surface sometime in the future. You know?
Yeah, Jay, and another part of this that's frustrating is aside from, you know,
well,
the family, it's the fact that he admitted to it in a court of law or in a writ, in a document, and then in an interview to get ready for the NFL, for the NBA, the Major League Baseball draft, excuse me. I'm a little worked up. He then goes to Sports Illustrated and says, I didn't do it. I'm not guilty. Total denial. And that's worse for the victim.
The thing that's puzzling to me, because you can have child molestation all around the world or any parts of the country, Northwest, West Coast, the Northeast, the Deep South, whatever. And then you get stereotype, what is like, we obviously have gotten this against us in the Deep South about incest and the whole thing. And you would think that you look in the Northwest and the majority, not everybody, but the way of thinking that there's no way they would put up with this. That it's not just something that, like, for instance, the movie Deliverance, when that came about, and you look at what occurred, and just if you backwoods, you can have backwoods anywhere, or you can have molestation. It doesn't matter what part of the country you're from. The point being, I'm surprised that in the Northwest, in that area of the country, that he was still pitching in Oregon State.
Yeah, remove Luke Heimlich from the equation. You can, but you can't. My point is, Oregon State is where my frustration lies with more than Luke Heimlich, to be honest with you. Because they're giving this guy a platform to ultimately go out there and showcase his talents, which he's going to get millions for, because they want to make the money off of the back of Luke Heimlich. We'll step away and come back. Paul Edelstein, New York City attorney, CTE expert, coming up next here on WWL. Hi, welcome back to Sports Talk. Paul Edelstein, New York City attorney, CTE expert. Paul, I apologize if I pronounced your last name wrong.
No, that's all right. You're not the first. You won't be the last, but it's okay.
Okay. Is it Edelstein or Edelstein?
We say Edelstein, but many people have said Edelstein, so, including many judges. So I don't correct them, though, but nor do I get apologies from them. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Paul, all right, so what is Mago's Law?
Mago's Law, very simply, is we want to see combat sports participants treated like emergency room patients when the fight is over, which is essentially what they are. So if you were in an emergency room after a head trauma, one of two things would happen to you. You'd either be given a CT scan if an emergency room physician felt there was a need for it, or if you weren't given a scan, you would be held for observation for at least an hour to rule out any neurological signs. And if during that hour something changed, then you would be given a CT scan. So, you know, you're there in a scheme of care. So we think these guys should be treated like that. And it doesn't even mean sending them necessarily to the hospital, because you could just keep them at the arena. If you don't have a CT machine at the arena, you could still just keep them there for the hour, have them check back in with one of the physicians before they leave the arena. An easy way to do that is just hold their checks and say, come see me at the, after an hour after you shower. And you get a reassessment. They're called serial assessments. So we kind of think it's just pretty silly to think that a guy's going to come out of one of these fights and not have a suspicion for head trauma. That's the idea of the sport. So treat them like what they are, which is traumatic victims of head trauma, and make sure that nothing happens like what happened to Mago, because his case was completely preventable, and it's really tragic.
Now, Paul, when you look at contact sports and you look at leagues, obviously this day and age they're going to try and address it and take care of the players. But isn't it complicated as far as the amount of damage, and what can you prove as far as whether you're dealing with dementia, or are you dealing with ALS, God forbid, or Alzheimer's? It's a different categories. And what is your take?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, what do you take right now with the NFL's at as far as maybe trying to stifle players as far as getting things done?
I think the NFL is doing as good a job as they can do, but to some extent, it's kind of like rearranging the chairs, the deck chairs on the Titanic, right? I mean, right. Good luck. It's still, the ship still may go down. These guys are getting repetitive head trauma. So what the NFL is really trying to do is lessen the impacts of concussions and don't put them back in if they have signs of concussion. But what we're seeing in the medicine with CTE is that this is a byproduct of repetitive head trauma, not necessarily concussion. So you can get that head trauma in practice, you can get it in the game, and it is the dividing line is not whether you have a concussion or not. So, you know, this is a big problem for any of the contact sports. And hey, listen, if everybody wants to put their head in the sand, and you know, this is a big moneymaker, and and everybody enjoys it. Listen, I watched you play. I love football too, but you know, there was a period of time where my parents, you know, smoked cigarettes like crazy because they didn't know there was a problem with it. And you know, this may be the tip of the iceberg with what we're seeing with traumatic brain injury in certain contact sports. 50 years from now, we may look back just like we are with cigarettes. And you know, in hockey and another sport, you know, one time that it was unheard of to think that these guys would wear helmets, right? It would ruin the sport. We can't see Ron Duguay's hair flowing on the ice. Well, it didn't ruin the sport, you know. So change comes with education and with advancement. And, you know, I think we're beginning begrudgingly to see that in the NFL, and I'm glad that we are.
Now, Paul, with that being said, when you look at like where the NFL is at with individual players, and is it maybe in the future that from a legal standpoint, do you sign some kind of release that you know what you're signing up for?
I'm sure.
And then going from there, that when you look at the players, to me, you know what I have a problem with, and that I look at, it might come about with the next CBA with the collective bargaining agreement, that it's a limited number of players. You look at the resource the NFL has, that how could you not have health care or long-term health care that when you look at the numbers, now once you finish playing, 5 years, they take care of you, then you're on your own, and you have a pre-existing condition that you can't be insured. So wouldn't that be a case in point? Shame on the NFL if you don't take care of players and they're not maybe under the interstate.
Crazy. I mean, if you think about it from a lawyer's perspective, you know, every state has workers' compensation insurance. If you're injured on the job and it's connected to you getting hurt while you were at work, and it's all medically documented, you have coverage for life. How could that not be the case in the NFL if you're injured on the job? I mean, the dispute's been whether you suffered a brain injury or CTE on the job at the NFL, but I think that ship has sailed. I think it's pretty conclusive now that this is happening to enough players where you should basically just assume that if an ex-NFL player is showing any of the signs of traumatic brain injury throughout the rest of his life, my opinion is he should be covered.
Right.
Because you would be if you fell on the job, if you were, you know, a laborer and fell off, you know, a building or, you know, at a work site and broke your leg or had a spinal fusion. We have a lot of guys that's happened to. Guess what? They get coverage for the rest of their life through workers' compensation. No questions asked. How are these NFL guys not going to have that? That's not right.
Paul Edelstein, New York City attorney, CTE expert, Mago's Law, here on Sports Talk. And Paul, real quickly though, I mean, what would be your argument to the idea that, oh, well, maybe this is a self-motivational deal for Paul?
What is proposing Mago's Law?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to get out of it. There's no boxers calling me up with cases. These are impossible cases. I think that if these guys are going to put their necks on the line for the entertainment of others and people are going to profit from it, then I have an obligation, that, you know, as a lawyer, not only on behalf of my client, but on behalf of anybody else that gets out there, to make it as safe as possible for them. Every lawyer like me, every personal injury lawyer, starts with that premise that we want to represent our client as best we can and get them compensation if they've been wronged by somebody else, and we want to effectuate change in an industry if we can. That is the basis of civil law. So if somebody wants to think this is self-promotion, that's fine, you know, but when I have families in here, that's not what they're thinking.
I just wanted to give you an opportunity to lay that out, Paul.
Yeah.
No worries.
Now, Paul, when you look at where we're at right now and you say a different opinion, you know, a progressive society and where we're at. But I think the human instinct, we always love gladiator sports, where you're in the octagon, whatever, or you're playing professional football, you're playing hockey, whatever. We like contact. We like aggressive sports. You can look even the World Cups getting ready to start. I mean, you have head injuries there. What's going to be a good balance where you could still enjoy the sport, but then that also take care of individual athletes? Is it just maybe paying attention to detail or not be overwhelming protective, but also because we don't want to see flag football. We want to see tackle. Well, what is your take on that?
Well, if
Paul, in about 60 seconds, if you could, please. Sorry.
Sure. If we as a society are going to tolerate combat sports or contact sports like football, then we've got to make it as safe as possible for the people participating in it. If, as a society, we get to the point where we say, hey, this is no longer tolerable and we need to outlaw boxing or something else, then that'll be the push. Right now, it's legal. It's liked by most people. There's not a push to change these things. So what we as a society have to do is, if people are going to profit from it, make it as safe as possible for the guys playing it. That's what you got to do.
Paul, thanks, man. Good stuff.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Thanks,
Paul Edelstein, CTE expert, New York City attorney. Man, we got some significant news headed your way after the news headlines. Donald Trump banning the Philadelphia Eagles from their White House visit. Also, Dwight Clark, former 49ers tight end, that has passed away at the age of 61.
61 years of age.
The catch, right?
Whoa.
We'll talk about that next here after our CBS and local news headlines. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Duke added another run, 6-3 now on top of Georgia in the Athens Regional. Georgia facing elimination. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on WWLAMFMN.com. This just breaking a few minutes ago. President Donald Trump issued a statement canceling the trip of the Philadelphia Eagles, using the national anthem as the reason. The statement says, the Philadelphia Eagles are unable to come to the White House with their full team to be celebrated tomorrow. They disagree with the president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on the heart, in honor of the great men and women of our country. The Eagles wanted to send a smaller delegation, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better. These fans are still invited to the White House to be a part of a different type of ceremony, one that will honor our great country, pay tribute to the heroes who fight to protect it, and loudly and proudly play the national anthem. Well, I will be there at 3 p.m. with the United States Marine Band, United States Army Chorus, to celebrate America.
I think they're both wrong. If you don't want to go, don't go. But then, just because the whole team's not showing up, if you want to go, Donald Trump should not stop those Eagles players that want to show up.
Well, I mean, but listen to what he said there. He said the 1,000 fans in attendance deserve better than just to meet five or six Eagles players.
Well, so what? Whoever wants to go, I mean, you show up and you go. So why would you just stop the? Why are you trying to?
This has never happened before.
But why are you trying to provoke the situation and to make it bigger than what it could be? He does not want all of a sudden to some of the players show up. Then it's like, oh, most of the team of the Eagles not showing up because Donald Trump is president. To me, why not honor the players that would show up no matter what? So you're just going to
Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah, with the owner. What did the owner of the Eagles say?
Okay, he opted to send a smaller contingent to avoid putting his players in a tough spot.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to so why couldn't Trump deal with that? Because he wants a bigger stage. He wants the whole team there. Come on, the Eagles got a bunch of black militants. I'm just going to be honest with you. Now, you're going to have white militants, black militants, some people that are pushing the envelope. The Eagles are one of those teams. Now, you might think I'm crazy, whatever. I'm just being honest. So that's why I think you could still have a ceremony where you're still honoring the Eagles.
My biggest issue, all right, so it's a team sport. So why would you have five or six of them show up? The whole team should show up. It's a team sport.
Whenever you're dealing with 50-plus players, come on. That's why the owners know when 2020 comes around, the new collective bargaining agreement, the players ain't going on strike. They ain't no freaking hell. They ain't no way in hell they're going because they will not agree. Man, I got bills to pay. I got to do this and that. Christian, I'm just telling you, never get everyone to agree. To me, you honor who is the world champs, and whoever shows up, shows up. Who don't, well, then that's their decision.
This one just coming down. What do you think? Donald Trump, first time it's happened to my knowledge where a sitting president.
I think this has never happened.
Yeah. A sitting president banning a team from coming to the White House.
So whether you win the Super Bowl, the NBA championship, the World Series, just acknowledge the team sports that we recognize. Now, you know, you can win the Women's World Cup, you can win, but truly from a professional standpoint, you'd say football, basketball, and baseball. I don't think this has ever happened.
It shouldn't surprise you. I mean, you saw how vehemently he feels, Donald Trump feels about the flag.
How about this one? How about this one? 42-82. Abar, you're an asshole. The Eagles are the ones picking the fight. No, as a player, and Malcolm Jenkins is one of the players that are leading the Eagles. So why am I an asshole? I'm just telling you the truth. You can't handle the truth. That's your problem.
What is it?
42-82.
I'm just telling you. Two good men?
Yes, I'm truly being objective, and I'm going to look at both sides. And I know what's occurring.
I don't know, but I can stand on
this. I agree with Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, trying to do the right thing. Now, you could say, well, you're playing both sides of the fence. But this day and age, who doesn't try to play both sides of the fence? Come on. Okay, because if you try and
Donald Trump doesn't play
when you try to appease to this side of your constituents, or are you trying to, you can be right, you can't be right or wrong. I mean, it's like who are you going to appease? So I think by truly representing the team, you can do the right thing. Yeah, Trump doesn't play both sides of the fence, and Donald Trump might get reelected. You know why he will? Because people vote their pocketbook. If the economy kicks ass, Donald Trump has a great chance to be reelected. But as far as appealing to the masses, as far as being a president for everyone, come on. Give me a freaking break. All I know is people vote their pocketbook, whether they admit it or not. You got people who can, you know, look at it. There's a conversation in public and won't say anything about Donald Trump. Positive or negative, and somebody might say, I can't believe what Donald Trump's doing. And they'll go, yeah, I kind of know. He's not too empathetic or
look,
he's not thinking of everyone. But when they go to that to vote, they're freaking voting for Donald Trump. You can't be naive about that.
I'm not going to play both sides here. Right? I'm not going to.
No, because you are a Trumpster.
Well, I'm a principled guy. All right?
You've been that from day one. I know that, Christian.
So, I have no issue with what he did. None. Zero. He doesn't try to appease people. He's not trying to appease the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay,
it's a team sport. The entire team shows up for the 1,000 fans in this ceremony. No, they don't. And if they choose to send 5, 6, 8 players and representatives, not good enough. It's not a team. It's a team sport, so the teams show up.
Okay, then why didn't Donald Trump put his 2 cents in Alabama at a stupid pep rally for his basis?
Now, that was dumb.
Exactly. No, but a lot of Trump people don't acknowledge that.
No, I don't think he needed to.
No, listen.
He incited that whole deal.
Listen, Trump is a manipulator. Trump knows what the hell he's doing. Listen, I'm just telling you right now that if he has the economy rolling, and I give Donald Trump credit, because you look at it, I want to say, since World War II, you look at the African Americans who's unemployed and who's employed, is the least amount of unemployment. Now, whether you can question that or not, I mean, that's what's occurring right now. And people can't handle it. Whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, you have to give him credit where credit is due, but you also have to hold him accountable. People can't do that. You got everybody's tribal. Okay, are you in this tribe? Are you in that tribe? No, it's unbelievable. And that's not good for the United States. That's not good for America.
Donald Trump bans the Philadelphia Eagles from visiting the White House. You okay with the decision? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. And a smack back move, President Donald Trump uninvites the Philadelphia Eagles' entire team to their White House visit. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Do you like it? Do you agree with the decision? And look, like I just said, I have no problem with the decision. Well, it's a team invite. If the entire team doesn't show up, then nobody shows up.
Well,
fine.
I'm getting it from both sides of the fence. Whether you like Donald Trump or you can't stand Donald Trump, I mean, I know I'm objective and you can't win for losing. But the whole thing, when you look how the Eagles are structured, look at different NFL teams. They're not all the same. Some teams have more black militants than others. I would say the Saints aren't one of those teams. I'm just, now right or wrong. Now, you might, instead of black militant, could I say black progressive? Or whatever you call it. So, and then I look at Donald Trump also. And I told Christian this, come on. Donald Trump's just saving face. He knew half the team wasn't going to show up, so he shut it down before it looked bad. And Christian, I got you to acknowledge that that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump, come on, that's going to look bad on my part.
Well, I think the biggest reason is that, again, it's a it might be a part of the reason, but I think the biggest reason is, hey, look, you guys have expressed that you don't agree with my stance, et cetera. Well, this is my way of firing back and ultimately saying, hey, it's a team invite.
When
and
he's
that's
the
that.
President. He's the president. But what I'm saying, he also nipped that in the bud because it would look bad. This
I think that's a secondary reason.
I think it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me the Eagles are a very progressive team, the world champs, very progressive. That if they all were going to show up, that there'd be no conflict with Donald Trump.
Well, of course.
You said that there wouldn't be?
No, there. If the entire team showed up?
Showed up.
Would there be conflict in which way?
So what if all of a sudden they show up and they do some kind of protest at the ceremony?
I think that would be a really bad thing.
Okay. I'm not saying it would not be a bad thing, but that wouldn't be a good thing. So why not just invite who wants to be there? And acknowledge that.
They've already done their protest.
It's like when Donald Trump said, the biggest inauguration in history. Look at all the people that are there. You have to buy fake news. Look at the camera. Come on, Christian. I don't know what president has been nominating the inauguration and all that. I mean, it's like comical that all of a sudden you got to try and exploit that you have the biggest inauguration in presidential history. Which is not true. So if he doesn't look good,
he's not the only politician that is lying.
I'm not saying that, but why you have to exploit it? Why do you have to make it better than what it really is? Just say like, okay, I had an inauguration. I'm glad. I'm excited. I'm ecstatic to be president. Why you gotta say
that's just who he is.
The biggest and the best ever? So what? That's a falsehood.
There's been plenty of falsehoods coming out of politicians' mouth. Since time immemorial. It just happens.
Why do you have to say the biggest and the best ever when it's not?
I don't know. I'm not Donald Trump. I don't know.
It's not.
But I don't hang on that. I don't get upset by that.
No, it's not getting upset. Just have enough security and don't be so insecure. You always got to defend yourself at 3 o'clock in the morning on Twitter.
Again.
Come on. Come on.
Hey, that's a platform he used to help get him elected.
Yeah.
Patrick and Marrero.
That's what's wrong with America in the future.
Sit tight, Patrick. George and Gretna, what's going on, George? You're on WWL.
I love it. I love my president. I love what President Donald Trump did. Shut the whole thing down. You need to be an American. You need to be patriotic. Respect the flag. Respect the military. Respect the national anthem. If you can't do it, then don't show up. And whoever wins basketball, crying LeBron James or Golden State, you want to cry about it? Don't show up either. This is about United States of America. And Donald Trump is our president, and I love him, and I believe in him, and I voted for him.
Well, George, you about and you in the far no, you in the 40 million, George, I'm not cutting you off. You in the 40 million, you in the 40 million, that will back up Trump no matter what. Now to get reelected, and I think that's a great chance. You got 20+ million. If the economy is doing great, he will get reelected. So I agree with you there.
Go ahead, George. George, you there? All right, I guess he's not there. All I did was put him on hold. Didn't disconnect him. Put him on hold just so he didn't have a yelling match.
Well, he was trying to do a Trump commercial. And all I was trying to tell you is that it doesn't matter what the hell Donald Trump does. There's 40 million Americans that love him. And... Christian, it's like Governor Edwards said, Edwin Edwards, for me to get in trouble, I got to be caught with a boy in bed or something. I mean, it's like 40 million, it don't matter what Donald Trump does, they backing him. Now there's like 20 to 30 million of the populace. It depends how circumstances and what they're backing. From a selfish standpoint, they can look at their bank account and where they're at. So, no, it'll be interesting to see 2020 if he does get reelected.
John Marks, afternoon host of WIP in Philadelphia, coming up at 7:10. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Patrick and Marrero, what's going on, Patrick? You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, I have something important to say, and I'll be brief. I spent 21 years in the military, and I agree with Bobby, and I'm going to tell you why. When I served, I represented, in my uniform, those conservatives, the liberals, the people who treat the flag like it's a sacred thing, and the people who treat the flag like it's trash. I supported all of those people. None of this. When I go to the Superdome and my season tickets with the Saints, I'm with 60,000 people who I don't know where their background, but we're all on one accord. If somebody wants to go to the White House, then and somebody doesn't, it doesn't affect my life. It doesn't affect the fact I got to pay Entergy, I got to pay Cox, and I got to pay all of these people.
Right.
If some of the people who would understand this, that would understand that what you support, and what you don't, is not the end of the world. And accept people and understand that people can have different views, but you can love them just the same and we can move on. The only exception I take, Bobby, is this. I don't believe in such a thing as a black militant. There's people who want to protest and the black people who want to protest that
right.
Way.
Well, well, the thing is, I could have maybe said, Patrick, black progressive. Would that be better? Did I just know there's black athletes that say, man, I'm just worried about playing. I'm not getting involved. I'm worried about my family. I'm not worried about the bigger message. Does that make sense? So if I'd have said black progressive instead of black militant?
Joe in Mandeville, Carl on I-12 coming to you next hour. President Donald Trump uninvites the Philadelphia Eagles to the White House for their championship tour and visit in Washington, D.C. Good move or bad move? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Do you agree or disagree with the decision of Donald Trump? This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.